This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Checkpoint Intimates.
Yes, you are listening to Checkpoint Intimates, the podcast where two of the Checkpoint team get one-on-one and get real intimate about a very intimate topic.
Yes.
Today, I am Cameron and I am joined by Elliot.
I'm here.
Yay!
Dynamic duo.
The dynamic intimate duo. Always getting intimate.
Yep.
Yep.
Where does it start?
So, don't.
What?
That made me uncomfortable. Today, we're going to be talking about games that have kind of failed to launch, with No Man's Sky next about to come out, and The Culling 2's unfortunate turn of events having to be removed from the market. We wanted to look back at some of the other games that have maybe launched to some very negative reviews, and if they've fixed it, if they've pulled it off like a Band-Aid and just cut and run, or if they've done nothing and just kind of sat there and gone, well, whatever.
Yeah, how do you fix something that is broken on launch?
Yeah, like, and that's the thing. These games quite often, you know, they launch with a bit of hype around them.
Of course.
And I think that's usually a big thing with at least a lot of the games in this list. Games that come out with a huge hype train. Hype. And then it launches and everyone goes, oh, you're just lying.
Yeah, or it'll launch and it's just a buggy mess.
Broken.
Or it'll do what The Culling 2 did and it'll launch to zero players. And then they have to fix that mess.
Zero players in a multiplayer game. So I think let's start with talking about what happened with The Culling 2, as that is probably the most extreme one that's happened recently.
Oh, yeah. There's not many games that I can remember that released with some notoriety. Like, it has a name behind it. The Culling 1 was a pretty decently popular game.
I've never played The Culling, but I knew the name. And that means something. If you don't play it, but you recognize that it is a game that exists, that's something.
And then the game launched, and pretty freaking quickly, like within a couple of days, it was down to single-digit players.
24 hours.
And it's such a shame because that's a battle royale game. So you need, I think The Culling has a 20-player limit.
Yes.
Don't quote me on that, though. But you couldn't start a match with that many people. Like,
no.
The game wouldn't launch because there was just too few people to play.
Yeah. There was someone who was saying they were sitting in a queue, and it said that there are two people currently online.
Yeah.
Two people online.
Imagine that. Imagine launching your game.
And you're one of them.
And this is like the most popular point in time for your game, because on launch, that often is the most, you know, the peak of your player base will be playing then. And for that to diminish to such few players so quickly, like your game is dead on arrival.
Like unbelievably quickly. Like almost as quickly as something, say, like, I don't know, Lawbreakers.
Yep, Lawbreakers did the exact same thing. It was dead on arrival. It released, there wasn't enough fanfare. People didn't like it. They jumped off.
And so it's this thing. So The Culling 2, the developers behind that, they posted a tweet saying, we have to do some soul searching, some serious soul searching, and have some difficult conversations. And then I think it was only like 2 days later, I think they came out and said, right, we're pulling the game.
Yep.
You know, it's not it turns out no one asked for this game. And it's true. This is the kind of game, The Culling 1 had only just launched officially November last year. And suddenly they're launching a sequel to direct to customer. Not early access launch. Like, they launched properly in July without any early access stage. And everyone was like, we don't want this. And they went, oh, people didn't want this game. Okay, well, you can get a refund on it then. And they've removed it from the market.
Which is, at least they're doing something. Like, a lot of developers will kind of cut and run at that point. They'll give up.
Twiddle their thumbs.
They'll be like, oh, this game failed. That's a shame. What's our next project? Or maybe they'll say, this game failed. That's a shame. I'm out of a job.
Yeah. It's that thing where they'll go, well, I guess we just won't support it. And that's it. You know, some developers may end up getting shut down because of something like this.
Yeah, which is exactly what happened to Boss Key Productions, who made Lawbreakers and followed it up with Radical Heights, neither of which were particularly impressive or gathered a large player base.
Yeah, and because of that, Boss Key Productions ended up closing its doors and is gone now because of this failure to launch.
Yep.
What they have done instead, though, the developers for The Culling 2 have said they're going back to the original Culling, and they're going to work on it and in updating it and returning it to the game that everyone loved during early access, because it was one that during early access turned into something they didn't enjoy. So it's that matter of, like, you know, you cut and run from what's not working, but you make the decision that you're still going to work on something that could work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. The culling one may end up, you know, being amazing. They may fix this. They may get it right. They may get the player base back. It may be too little too late. They may have burnt every bridge that they had and all the kind of, you know, the good that had made. Another game that is in a similar boat, and right now I feel like it's at a turning point, and we're about to see if it sinks or swims, and that is No Man's Sky.
Mm-hmm.
No Man's Sky is probably one of the most controversial launches in modern gaming history.
Oh, yeah. I feel. It had a terrible launch because there was so much community backlash and so much mainstream media attention for that game building up to launch.
Yep.
That it had such a big following and such a following of people who were misled into believing the game was something that it wasn't. And then when it released and people discovered, this isn't what I thought this would be.
Yep.
And obviously, those people turned angry, and you don't want an angry mob on your hands.
People turned to legal action against the developers. The guy from the head developer, I can't remember
Sean
his
Murray.
Name. Sean Murray, that's it, from Hello Games. He went into hiding. People were threatening his life.
Yep.
People were, like, finding out where he lived. Like, it was intense. Mm. I've never seen a community turn that hard that quickly.
No.
And that extreme.
Like, oh, it's ridiculous.
There's empty threats, and then there's, you know, actually turning up at someone's house.
Yep.
Like, that's crazy. And so, what they did, instead of cut and run, they didn't go, all right, well, we're done. What they've been doing is they've been releasing update after update after update onto the PlayStation version, trying to add to it, trying to give it more. So, they've been working on that slowly. Update after update that adds different things. And I've gone back after one of the updates, and I will say that it definitely felt like a new game. Like, there were parts that weren't, wow, this is something that I really wanted in it when it first originally launched. And I'm so glad it has it now. It felt much more fleshed out and lived in and less barren and just kind of shapes. Now they're releasing No Man's Sky next. And that's apparently set to change this. It's coinciding with the launch onto Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
And they're finally releasing the multiplayer they've been hoping for. And it's a matter of, right now, we're going to see, you know, people, we posted an article about this and people have already said, like, there's a mix. You've got people using, like, the laugh reaction because they're like, this is stupid. It's a stupid game that had a, you know.
Yeah, some people have already given up on the game and they'll write off anything about it.
But some people, including, you know, some of our writers, are excited about it.
Yeah.
Some people are saying, this is what I wanted from the game. This can bring me back. As someone who loves playing co-op, the idea of being able to fly around to different planets with my husband, that excites me. Like, this could be, you know, they could salvage themselves. There is a chance.
There is a chance that they can rebuild that reputation that they destroyed on launch. And that's the option they went with, right? They didn't cut and run. They said, you know, we can try to fix this.
Yes.
And they were probably releasing a lot of free updates and doing a lot of man hour.
Well, I think that's the big thing. It's a lot of... all these updates are free. You know, these aren't DLC. They're updating their game for free.
And this will cost... like, I'm sure Hello Games made quite a decent amount of money off the sale of this game. But they're doing a lot of legwork to try to fix their reputation. And it's costing them a lot of money. Because they're doing free update, free update, free update, free update. And they've got to pay those developers to make that game.
Mm-hmm.
So, they're hoping that No Man's Sky turns into a game that is good enough that it'll attract the consumers back to it that were initially really hurt by its launch.
And we've seen games do this successfully.
Yeah.
So, Final Fantasy 14. We've talked about it once or twice on here before. But Final Fantasy 14, when it first launched, was a buggy mess and was hated. It had a fan following, but that's kind of the kind of people who would, you know, Final Fantasy, you could have Cloud come out and, you know, decapitate someone in real life, and they'd be like, wow, I love Final Fantasy as a franchise. You know, they protect it no matter what it does. So Final Fantasy 14 had a lot of problems. They shut down their servers. They killed everything. They went scorched earth.
Mm.
And then they brought us back with Realm Reborn. And Realm Reborn was fixing all of the issues people had had. And now it's one of the more successful MMOs.
Yeah, they did a good job of turning that around for sure.
It's an MMO that still has a subscription fee as well as a purchase of the game fee. And it's still got a massive player base.
Mm.
It's still going strong. And the thing is, beyond purchasing the occasional mass update, like they've had two DLCs expansions since then, all of their updates, which add proper content, have been free.
Yeah.
They're using that, you know, the subscription fee to properly, you know, put content back into the game.
Look, and you see it time and time again. I think it's been proven that if you make something good, consumers are going to flock to it. So you talk about Final Fantasy Realm Reborn, and I immediately think of Rainbow Six Siege, which released to fairly mediocre response, not that many players, but they just kept adding to it, and they made it out to be, like, they made an actual really good game out of Rainbow Six Siege.
Yep.
And all of those players who may have initially fobbed it off and ditched it for something else, they returned, and they returned with their friends, and all of a sudden, this is one of the most popular games on Steam, because Rainbow Six Siege, like, the year it released, nobody was talking about it. Today? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's exact same with Warframe.
Crazy with, like, Twitch and Warframe.
You keep updating, and all of a sudden, more and more people will come in, because you make a better and better game, and consumers will respond to it.
Word of mouth in the gaming community is quite often overlooked as one of the most impressive ways to market your game.
Unfortunately, a lot of people focus on day or week one sales or pre-orders, and that's their measure of success, when in reality, you need to look at the future and see how much money your game can generate in the long term by keeping your players happy and keeping that reputation strong, so that when you do something new, you've got people already hooked.
And then you've got those communities that are happy to spend a little bit of extra, like, you know, when I'm in a game where I'm like, I really love this game, and they're giving a lot back to us with the consistent updates, I'm more than willing to maybe occasionally buy something, like, I'll buy some in-game currency, I'll throw some money that way, because I'm supporting this person who's working so hard.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm just one person, and if I feel like that's a fairly unanimous feeling. So something like Overwatch, like, you know, I paid for it at the beginning, but so much content keeps getting added to that consistently. Every month there's, you know, something new coming into that, or some kind of rework. And so because of that, occasionally I don't mind buying a couple of loot boxes, because I'm like, well, this is giving back to them.
Sure.
Not that I think they bloody need it.
No. I think they're doing fine for themselves.
I think they're doing fine too. But then you've got something like Destiny. And Destiny 2, which is about to have its first big DLC release in September. Now, it's doing something very similar to original Destiny, where two DLCs were bundled with the game when it first was made. These DLCs were already made before the game launched, but they could do tweaking to the DLC, but it was basically already done. What that means is you don't get to learn from any mistake that you've made at launch.
No.
What means is a year later, after release, you've had two DLCs that changed nothing, and that sends a bad, you know, message to fans going, well, we're not changing anything. But then the big one comes out. It was The Taken King last year. This year, it's Forsaken, and they change so much about the game and rework it back to what people are actually looking for in the game. When Taken King came out last year, it changed the game completely.
Oh, yeah.
And it brought so many players back. And I think Forsaken's about to do the same thing. And I'm angry because I have to pay for that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this isn't a free update. This is DLC.
A lot of companies they'll try to plug the holes, right? They'll try to fix or mend the relationship that they tarnished by releasing something that the players wanted more from, or didn't, like, they were expecting something different. But Bungie clearly have a big enough name and enough power and enough players that they can actually charge people to fix the issues with their game, which sucks. Like, that's such a terrible business model, but at the same time, they're doing it and it's working.
It is a mixed bag, because what it is usually, like, the update will come, and if people don't buy the DLC, they usually get a lot of the, like, you know, the bettering life kind of, I can't remember the phrase for it. You know the phrase I'm trying to think of?
Quality of life?
Quality of life. They'll get a lot of the quality of life updates in the base game. Yep. They'll get that. But what they won't get is the extra new content, and the new content will usually lean heavily on the quality of life updates so that you can probably see them. So you may have them, but it may not mean as much. I think another one that is important to discuss as well is SimCity.
Yeah, that was a bad launch.
Yeah, it was one of the... I think it's up there with No Man's Sky as one of the worst launches. It was... Maxis? I think it's Maxis, yeah. They were trying to return with EA. They were trying to return to, you know...
Is Maxis dead now?
I don't know. Maybe Maxis didn't develop.
They definitely started
that Sims
series. Whether they're still around. Oh, they do still make The Sims?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're the people behind The Sims. Anyway, The Sim City that was coming out, it was we hadn't really had a SimCity for ages. This was a return with modern graphics and an update, and oh my god, amazing. And then the penny dropped. There was always online. You had to be online or you couldn't play it. Immediately, they cut off a huge section of their player base. And then it launched, and it just wasn't very good.
Yeah, people started picking holes in it pretty quickly when they realized that the game wasn't... It didn't have... like, it was one of those...
no depth.
It was smoke and mirrors. Yep. So, like, at a surface level, like, it seemed quite quality and quite deep. But the more you kind of poked at the game, the more you realized that, actually, there's not much here. Like, it's smoke and mirrors.
Yeah. And, well, what happened was they kind of... I don't know. Like, maybe they did do something, but I never heard about it. They just kind of left it.
Yeah, I don't think SimCity has... got the kind of attention it wants.
They got one update that made you able to play the game offline, but it was too late. The game was dead
Most
in the water.
Most people at that point were just playing City Skylines and saying, this is the better city management game.
City Skylines came out and did everything right and is a phenomenal game and just went, you know, maybe this is what you needed. And everyone went, that's what we wanted. And no one ever went back to SimCity. Even when it offered online, its player base was just not there.
Yeah, nobody's talking about SimCity. So that's undeniably a game dead on arrival.
Huge, yeah. And it's just, you know, it's one that they didn't do enough and they didn't do it quick enough.
No, they kind of gave up on that project. Whereas a lot of developers will keep going, right? Like, so Diablo 3, there was a lot of issues when that launched. Not only connectivity issues, but the Real Auction Money House.
And just the game in general, a few parts of it felt a bit...
Yeah, a little bit shallow.
Yeah.
And then they kind of...
They worked on it.
They continued to work on it and they really made it something good. And a lot of endgame content came out post-development. The Xbox One... which may not be a game, but it definitely launched to a very bad reception.
Ooh, with so bad.
Online connectivity being mandatory as well, and then they reversed that.
They were audibly mocked by other developers on stage.
Yeah, like, it wasn't
They
good.
Were the butt of a joke at the E3 launch for the Xbox
But obviously,
One.
Microsoft worked hard to try to change
they
that.
Did.
And they've done a pretty good job.
Yeah, they've definitely come back from where they were.
So, a lot of examples of like, reputation's been tarnished on launch, where that launch period is really bad and a lot of, like, community backlash. But it's about how you repair that, or if you choose to repair it, that kind of defines you.
I think the important thing is that going forward, developers, if something launches, listen. Like, that's a big thing. Like, just listen to your community.
Yeah.
Not everything is immediately negative and like, meh, 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 meh. Like, you're not... It's not trolls. Not everyone is a troll. Some people do want to see the best for your game. And if you listen to what people are looking for and you put in the work after that, you can achieve that.
Yep. 100%.
Definitely. Well, thank you for joining me on Checkpoint Intimates, Elliot.
You're more than welcome, Cameron.
And you can catch all of the other Checkpoint Intimates if you head over to checkpointgaming.net.
This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.